Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Trust you're enjoying our time here this morning. If you're visiting with us, it's great to have you with us here on this Sunday morning. I hope that you have enjoyed your time so far and will continue to continue enjoying your time today. I do want to welcome a couple who have moved here from the New York City Church of Christ and will be a part of the Ottawa Church of Christ. And that is Roman and Comey. Hope I got it pronounced correctly. And well, it's great to have you here in Ottawa. Of course, they just recently moved from being a part of the Bronx ministry in the New York church. Prior to that, they were in the church in Nigeria. But we're glad that you have come from Nigeria, stopped off in the Bronx, and now you're here as part of the Ottawa church. And we definitely want to welcome you, and we look forward to getting to know you better. A couple of announcements I want to make mention. Of course, many of you received an email from me about a missions workshop that's happening in Toronto next weekend. It's entitled Reach, and there'll be different classes on how to effectively reach people of all ages in our great country of Canada. And so again, there's a missions workshop. Randy and Kay McKean from Virginia are going to be sharing some different practicals as to what they've been doing and what have been proven to be effective to really share with those in attendance as to how to better reach people in different, whether they're married, singles, campus teams. So definitely it'll be a great time if you're able to go. I'm more than welcome to attend. They'll start on Friday night, a special class for the women, where Kay McKean will be speaking on the Friday night at 8 p.m. Follow, and then on Saturday, there will be classes for teens, campus, married, singles, and that will be happening on Saturday morning. And so again, if you did not receive the email, please speak to me afterwards and I can send it to you. But that is happening next weekend. So again, if you're planning to go, those are the details. If you are not planning to go, we are meeting next week in house church, which means we're not meeting here at the facility. We're going to be meeting in homes around the city. So please speak to your ministry leader as to where church will take place in what area and what neighborhood. That is next Sunday. And last but not least, I want to give you an update from the Halifax Church of Christ. Of course, Guy and Kathy Hammond have been leading that ministry for some time now. And Guy has been balancing leading the church, the Halifax church, as well as running a ministry called Strength and Weakness. And that is helping Christians who are same gender attracted. And so it's been a growing ministry. What started off as being just a part-time responsibility has now turned into a full-time responsibility. And so as a result, for this specific need, Guy and Kathy Hammond will be stepping down and resigning the responsibilities as the leaders of the Halifax Church of Christ, and are going to move out to Halifax. It's going to be Marty and Rita Udall are going to be going out to lead the church in Halifax. So definitely please be praying for the Halifax Church, praying for the Toronto Church, as Marty and Rita have been an incredible part in building the campus ministry in Toronto. So please be praying for those churches during this time of transition. Well, that's all the announcements for this morning, at least for the next time being. So we're going to continue our study on heaven. Of course, we've been studying about heaven, what heaven will be like, how we should look forward to heaven, because the earlier disciples, they looked forward to heaven. They thought about it. They imagined what it would be like, and it had a direct influence on their everyday choices in their life. You know, we talked about how heaven is the home of God, a place of goodness, eternal delight, joy, paradise, a perfect world without corruption, without sin, without illness, a place where there are no disadvantages. A place we can look forward to where God walks with us, talks with us, and we see Him and spend eternity with Him as well. You know, I'm not sure if you've imagined or you started to stretch your imagination as to what heaven will be like. You know, for some of us, we think about it'll be like a home. You know, you think about heaven and a home. Some of us love our homes. We love our, whether it be a large TV to be able to watch sports. You know, some of us can imagine, you know, heaven will be like being able to walk. We get to heaven, we'll enjoy all the delights, where we'll probably watch reruns of the NHL Leaf games. Or maybe not. I've been stretching my imagination to say, well, what is heaven going to be like? It's going to be watching game after game of the... Of course it's not going to be nothing like that. But heaven's going to be fantastic. And it'll be amazing. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, you don't need to turn there. Of course, we've looked at this. It says that Jesus will return. We don't know when, but it will be sudden, it will be unexpected. And how important it is for us to live our lives in light of heaven. And the Bible says that He will come down and He will take us to live with Him forever. That we will live with the Lord forever. And that needs to encourage us. That needs to motivate us. That needs to shape our values, our decisions, our behavior in our day-to-day lives. And so as we continue, we're going to continue to talk about an aspect of heaven. But before we do that, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we thank You so much that we're able to be here this morning. Father, thank You so much for the health that You've given us. Thank You so much for the incredible blessings that You've given us. And thank You, God, that we're able to make our way here this morning. Father, to be able to be together with our brothers and sisters, with our friends, to be able to worship You and encourage one another. Father, thank You so much for the time that we're able to share together so far. But Father, I do pray that as we open Your Word at this time, Father, I pray that Your Spirit would really work in each and every one of our hearts. Father, You know us better than we know ourselves. Father, You know our wants, You know our needs. But Father, I do pray that Your Spirit would really speak to us, to really meet the needs that lie deep within our hearts. So that, Father, we could seek You, Father, with more passion in our lives. That, Father, we can put You first in our lives. And that, Father, we can live each day of our lives in light of spending eternity with You. Father, please give us the strength to be able to do that. Father, we're drawn and lured by so many things around us in this world. But, Father, please give us the strength. Please give us the faith to look beyond what is seen. And, Father, to look to what is unseen. That, Father, one day we will be with You for all eternity. That, Father, we'll be with You in Your home. And, Father, please help us to think about that, to shape our lives accordingly, so that, Father, we can see Your face one day, and that, Father, we can live our lives on this earth as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Father, again, we ask that You bless our time. Please open our hearts as we open Your Word. Father, we thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 20. The Bible says that, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. You know, the Bible teaches, again, as we've talked about, that we will live with the Lord forever. But in light of that, we have to take on a body that is prepared for eternity. And it says here that, of course, as Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. And it says that we eagerly await a Savior from there. And that's what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, that we should eagerly await a Savior from heaven. And then it says that He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. You know, to live in heaven, we need to have a body prepared to live for eternity. You know, the one we have right now just won't do. The body we have right now is a physical body, and it just won't do. And we realize that when we face the aches and pains. My goodness, it was today, this week was a week where my back was just hurting me everywhere I went. I turned to the left, my body hurts. Turned to the right, my body hurts. And it comes with age. But you know what the amazing thing is? We can look forward, and we should look forward to our spiritual body. You know, I don't look forward to what my body will be like at 60. I mean, I don't look forward to my aging body. If anything, sometimes I go, man, I wish you kind of turn back the clock. More so to have the body you have when you're younger. But when all is said and done, we can look forward to our spiritual body. The heavenly body that we'll have. The body that is prepared to live for eternity. You know, but today, we are very preoccupied with our bodies. You know, some more than others. You think about the hours in the fitness centers. The 24-hour fitness centers. To make sure we have the tight abs. Make sure we don't have any body fat. People spend plenty of time, hours. I've known of people who go to the gym for 3 to 4 hours. In one sitting to work out. It's nobody in here. But who spend excessive hours trying to take care of their physical body. You think about excessive beauty products. Of course, you know, great. I know people use beauty products. Fantastic. Excessive beauty products. But then people do extreme measures where people will do all kinds of things to have their ideal body. Whether it's liposuction, facelifts, plastic surgery, do all these things to have the ideal body. And don't get me wrong, we do need to take care of our physical bodies. We do need to take care of our physical bodies. But what's important is that we need to think about the spiritual body that we will have and live our lives accordingly. That we should be concerned about our physical bodies and take care of them, but we should be more concerned about the body that will not just last for decades, but be concerned about the body we'll have for all eternity. Our bodies will be transformed, equipped to live on a different level. That we will have a better body than any products or workouts will attain. A body that we can look forward to in heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we're going to spend a significant amount of time in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, begin reading in verse 35. Says, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just the seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And the star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last man, a giving spirit. The spirit did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the man from heaven, so are also those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. But the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, what an amazing transformation that's going to take place. One that no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, if you're a faithful disciple of Jesus, that you will have a transformed body when Jesus returns to take us home. You know, some ask, you know, what happens between the time we die and the time that we are resurrected? You know, the Bible assures us that even though our body is buried, our souls are still living. But upon death, our souls will journey immediately to a spiritual realm, an intermediate state, while we await the resurrection of our bodies. And our day in this intermediate state terminates once the Lord returns. And so now as we read in verse 35, but some may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? And Paul gives us some insights into what our resurrected bodies will be like. You know, there are a number of different things we could learn from this passage. But Paul's point is simple. You're going to be different. You're going to be changed. You're going to be transformed. And while we don't have a detailed blueprint for our spiritual bodies, we do get some idea as to the greatness, the power, and the wonder of what our resurrected bodies will look like. You know, some of us love our bodies now. But I'll tell you, the spiritual body we'll have, it will be absolutely amazing. You know, we will have a new body. You know, it goes on to talk about how there is an amazing variety of physical, fleshly creatures that God has made. All things made of flesh, of course, are not the same. It says also that people have one kind of flesh. Animals have another kind. The birds have another. The fish have another. And of course we could say the list does go on. But also there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one of a kind. And it talks about the beauty of the earthly body as another. The sun has one kind of beauty, the moon has another. That each star is different in its beauty. It is the same with the dead who are raised to life. And the point that is being made is that we will have a new type of body, our resurrected bodies. It will still look human, but it will be different. As one star is from another. That we will be different, but we'll also have certain things that make us who we are. I don't know if you'll still have your sense of humor. Maybe we want to hold on to our sense of humor because we love our sense of humor. Who knows if we'll have it? But we'll have some things that, hey, that make us who we are. But we'll also have a transformed body so that will prepare us for life in heaven. You know, when we look and think about Jesus, that when we think about Jesus, that Jesus' body, after he raised from the dead, you know, it was a body that looked human, but also a spiritual body. And we see in many different situations in Luke chapter 24, you know, this is after Jesus raised from the dead. And Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you see, I have." You know, we do see that Jesus had a tangible body. A tangible body that they could see. That could be in their presence. In John chapter 20. In John chapter 20 and verse 15, you know, Jesus appears to Mary. And of course, Mary's crying because of course Jesus had died. And in verse 15, it said, "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And of course, you know the rest. We see that here she thought that he was a gardener. So he looked human. He looked like someone who could be a gardener. In John chapter 21, as we continue reading, in verse 10, it says that Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who you are?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. You know, there were many different things. We don't have time to look at chapter 20 and 21 of John. I encourage you to read it. But Jesus had a body that looked human. But it was also changed in some ways. Even his close friends didn't recognize him at first. You know, was he taller? Was he a little younger? We don't know. But we do know that he had the elements of a physical body and also a spiritual body. You know, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, our resurrected body will be a spiritual body. And in verse 49, you know, Paul helps us understand that, you know, it will be a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49. You know, it says, "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." You know, just as we are now like the earthly man, so that we will someday be like the heavenly man. In other words, through Adam we have inherited our natural bodies. Through Christ we will inherit our spiritual bodies in the resurrection, where Christ is the prototype of our spiritual bodies. So Jesus' resurrection, therefore, was the prototype of our future resurrected bodies. You know, our spiritual bodies, this new body that we'll have, will be immeasurably more powerful than our present body. It'll be immeasurably more power than our present one. It'll be better than our present one. The Paul mentions ways that God will transform our body. From perishable to imperishable. From dishonor to glory. From weakness to power. You know, if you think about it, we can take offense at that. Though not some flattering words that I would describe your body. It's perishable, it's dishonor and weakness. You know, these are not the flattering words to use to describe our body. But again, if you think about it, who would argue with them? You know, we get old, we get tired, we get worn out, we get joint and muscle aches, fatigue, backache, we start losing our sight, our hearing. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, when we're 20, we're 30, we go to a doctor and you get one thing tested. Then you get older and there's like a chart of different things to get tested. And then we sit and we wonder, begin to notice that everything doesn't work like it used to work. And we say, you know what? I would just give anything. Anything for one full day of a strong, healthy body. And then we come to the realization that no matter what the infomercials promise us, that we can't stop the aging process. You know, everyone watches those infomercials that make all these different kind of promises. If you have this, you will look younger. You will feel younger. Only to take it and then still find yourself going to bed at 8 o'clock. Realize, you know, no matter what they promise, they cannot stop the aging process. But here we see some words to describe what we have to look forward to. Glorious. That our new bodies will be glorious like that of the risen Christ. That we'll have a body that can live forever. That we'll have an imperishable body. That our new bodies are not like our current bodies. That our bodies get worn out. Our bodies are susceptible to illness, the flu. Our bodies are not right now made to last forever. But we'll have bodies that are free from illness and that will be made to last forever. We'll have bodies of power. We will possess a new body with abilities beyond our wildest imagination. And we see that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, and again, I encourage you to read John 20 and 21. Jesus appeared and disappeared at will. That Jesus was able to appear and disappear at will. So, for example, if Jesus walked into this fellowship, you could be talking to Jesus one moment. Turn your head to talk to someone, Jesus is gone. And not only is he outside, he's in another area of town. That he was able to disappear and appear at will. He could walk through walls, as you see in John 20:21. He could walk through walls, walk through closed doors. Yet he could also eat, drink, sit, and be seen by those who wanted to see him. He was remarkably the same, yet even more remarkably different. You know, in Luke chapter 24, verse 31, you don't need to turn there. Again, he just disappeared. He's with two disciples walking on the road. And all of a sudden, he just disappeared from their sight. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Again, this is after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples. And it says in Acts chapter 1 verse 9, it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. It says here that Jesus was with the disciples talking to them. And then he was taken up from their very eyes, and it said a cloud hid him from their sight. You know, you think about all the different movies. You think about Superman. You think about Thor that just came out this weekend. That Jesus defied gravity and ascended into the air. You know, most of us, if not all of us, if we've ever watched a Superman, if we've ever watched a movie like Thor, maybe growing up when you were younger, even now, have thought about what it would be like. What it would be like to fly like Superman in the air. What it would be like to be like Thor. Or the list goes on. You know, we will have a spiritual body like Jesus. We will have a transformed body like Jesus. But the best part of the transformation is not just that we'll have a body that looks a spiritual body, but the transformation that will take place in our hearts. The transformation that will take place in our hearts. That we will be like him. That we will have a heart like his. Do you ever wonder what it is to love like Jesus? We will have a heart like Jesus. Because as we are now, each of us live with both a sinful nature, and if we're disciples, we have the Holy Spirit that are at war within us. But when Christ comes, all evil will be abolished, completely purged from our hearts, and we will be like him. You will still be you, but you'll be a better you. The you God intends for you to be, free from the corrupting influence of sin, selfishness, and everything else we have to face on this earth and battle in our lives. But just as with the Lord, our bodies, which are now perishable, dishonored, weak, and natural, will be raised into bodies that will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. What a transformed body we are going to have. In verse 54 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, And we do see here that this is all possible because of Jesus. At 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54 to 58, you know, it talks about how Jesus conquered death. That for a disciple, death is no longer a source of dread or fear, because Christ overcame it. That death has been defeated, and we have hope beyond the grave. That for a disciple, death is not the end. Death will usher us into the presence of God, where we will be with the Lord and we will have a transformed body, because Jesus conquered death. And in verse 58, it says, therefore, it says, let nothing, well, therefore stand firm. Let nothing move you. You know, the coming resurrection is the hope and motivation of a Christian, needs to be, and of the church. That we must all remember that we are to be steadfast and unmovable in our commitment to obeying the Lord. Because God will never leave us, He will never forsake us, but works on our behalf to be able to bring us to be at home with Him. And we must believe that the rewards that await us are far greater than the trials we face in this life. You know, that what we face in life are light and momentary troubles. That what we faced last week, they're light and momentary troubles compared to what awaits us on the other side. Just one glimpse of the glory of heaven will make the trials and the tests of this life fade into nothingness. This world has nothing to offer you, nothing to offer me, that can compare with the wondrous blessings that God has for us in this lifetime and also in the next. So therefore, as a Christian, we need to make sure that we stand firm in our faith. Do we make sure that we live faithful, we live on solid ground, and we stand firm, that we let nothing move you? Now, dear disciple, is there something moving your faith right now? Is there something moving you from the position of where God wants you to be? So let nothing move you. Are we going to be able to... We have that as a possibility simply because of God. Do we have things that can shake us, move us from side to side? So let nothing move you. To stand firm. To stand firm in our faith. To stand firm in our conviction. That in this life, our convictions will get tested. From when we were a young Christian to how we are now. That our convictions will get tested throughout our Christian life. Very important that we stand firm in our conviction. That we let nothing move us. And that we, it says here, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. That as a Christian, we are to always to give ourselves fully. You know, when you think about that, that's just not simply just giving of ourselves. Giving of ourselves here and there. It is giving of ourselves fully. With all of our hearts, our mind, our soul, our strength, every fiber of our being. That we give ourselves always fully to the work of the Lord. You know, we can be... give ourselves and give our time and energy and all these different things to many things that are in this world, but they're not the Lord's work. Well, we could busy ourselves with the wrong things, but we need to make sure we always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And sometimes we might hesitate, but it says here that, why? You know, sometimes again we might hesitate to do good because we don't see any immediate results. But we must have a heavenly perspective when we don't see results, to not get discouraged for lack of results, but we continue to give ourselves fully. Because your work has eternal results. And it says, always give yourself fully. Why? Because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, we could do well to remember that passage when we do the things that we do in our lives as Christians. When we serve people, when we serve the church, when we serve neighbors, when we serve our families, and realize, you know what? Doesn't seem to be having an effect. We need to remember that our labor in the Lord, it's not in vain. So sometimes we use what's around us to gauge whether or not it has an effect. But we need to realize that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. That when we work for the Lord, it's either changing us, even if it doesn't change what's happening around us. That it is never in vain. And we should always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You know, we will be transformed so that we can live our life for eternity in heaven. We will have a transformed body, new and improved, and we will worship the Lord with a radiant face. Our hearts will explode with love and joy, with kindness and goodness, and we will be like the Lord, and we will be with the Lord forever. You know, let us anticipate longing for our heavenly bodies. And live our lives as faithful disciples to the very end. That we don't allow anything to move us. That we don't allow anything to move us. That we stand firm in our faith. We stand firm in our conviction. And we always give ourselves fully, not partially, not half-heartedly, but we always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.